Galaxy 7, Transponder 14, Audio 7.71 Wideband. The Heritage Broadcast System.
Get the oil, pour some water, and bring a clean rag. But the brother is lying here with a broken back, and the bones are showing through. But all you know to do is press the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. You press the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious.
Welcome to By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio program coming to you over Heritage Broadcasting System. We're reaching you via the C-band satellites, the internet, and starting the 20th of this month, we will reach you via shortwave radio at 7.385 megahertz. In some areas, we are fortunate and blessed that we have FM rebroadcasters, those courageous Paul Revere's for today, who have set up the micro stations to rebroadcast these messages via FM radio. We ask Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, to bless each and every one of you. First and foremost, we wish to dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was surnamed Israel. For all good things come from him, and we wish to give him all the praise, glory, and honor for allowing us this opportunity to bring truth to his holy remnant, the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Aryan peoples of the earth. Hallelujah, Yahweh, all praise Yahweh in Hebrew. This is a two-seed line racial covenant identity ministry, and we've been studying this truth for a number of years, and we certainly encourage any and all to call in or write with any suggestions or additional information that you may have. Our object today is to bring truth to a land that is in severe famine for truth. The media lords have determined that you're only going to be spoon-fed lies and misdirected information in this latter day. And our job is to get Yahweh's truth out there and to bust your comfort zones. Any and all who can help us to that end, we certainly encourage it. We have an announcement here. Let me give you the title first before we get too far along here. Tonight's program is entitled, Second Amendment, What Does It Mean? And I'll have a guest here shortly who is the director of the Virginia Libertarian Party named Mark Montani. But before we get to him, I would like to read off a few things here. June is a fundraiser month for Heritage Broadcasting System, who is bringing you this message. We certainly encourage all of you to partake of this month's fundraising effort. To support Heritage, they are offering a dark blue coffee mug with the Heritage Broadcasting System logo in white. It is completely microwavable. Each mug is available for a donation of $25. Or you can get two for a donation of $45. We would encourage you to help be part of the solution to what's wrong in America today and actually around the world, but most certainly here at home in America. Please, if you can, spare it. Send $25 or $45 and get these very good-looking cups. You can send your donations to Heritage Broadcasting System, Post Office Box 5583, Evansville, Indiana, 47716. And we thank you for listening in. If you didn't catch it, June 20th, we start going up via WRMI radio out of Miami on the shortwave band. I believe that's 41 meter, and its frequency is 7.385 megahertz. Pass the word and join in. We hope to get this truth out and hope you'll join in with us. Before we go too much further, I've got a poem from Charisse. So, Charisse, if you would.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. The title of this poem this evening is Second Amendment, What Does It Mean? The Second Amendment, what does it mean? It is so much more than what it seems. Though it is part of the Bill of Rights, it began way back when on a special night. When Yahshua, our Messiah, walked upon this earth and 12 stood by his side. These were faithful and trusted, handpicked by him. It would be these he would teach and guide. In the book of John, chapter 18, Yahshua was betrayed with a kiss. Simon Peter drew his sword and cut off a guard's ear. It was the man's throat that he missed. Was Peter admonished for having the sword or for using it to protect or defend? What did Yahshua say as he healed the man's ears? What message did he send? He told Peter to put away his sword and to let things be. He said, "Should I not drink the cup which my Father has given to me? Sell your cloak and buy a sword. It's been passed down through the ages. We have the right to protect ourselves, for it is written on our hearts, not just those parchment pages. The Second Amendment, what does it mean? It is so much more than what it seems." Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Thank you very much, and I hope everybody was paying attention. It is much more than it seems. Folks today in school, unfortunately, are not taught the truth about many things, and one of them is our Bill of Rights, where they come from, and also the fact that if the Constitution was to burn up tomorrow, my rights don't change one bit. I still have Yahweh's right to free speech. I have Yahweh's right to defend myself and my family, and that is where the Second Amendment comes from. My rights don't generate and come from any document written by a group of men. My rights are originated from my Heavenly Father. For those that haven't picked up a Constitution in recent years, I'm going to read exactly the wording of it from Article 2 in a little handbook I've got called A Citizen's Rule Book. And it states, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." That is pretty simple, folks, and what part of it don't they understand? I don't understand where they are coming from today, other than they are just outright traitors, communists, out to disarm us because they plan on having us invaded, folks. I mean, the handwriting's on the wall. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Real quick, too, I'd like to give Judy of Saltbox Herbs phone number out, folks, if you have anything in the area of health needs. She's a naturopathic doctor, and she has many contacts and has many sources of information. Her phone is area code 724-639-9607. Andy, has Mark called in yet?
No, he hasn't, and I can't get a hold of him.
Okay. Well, we'll press on until he does. I wanted to read, besides the Second Amendment out of the Constitution, in the new parchments, the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 35 and 36. "And he said unto them," now he is Yahshua Messiah, "he said unto them, when I sent you out without purse and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you? And they said, no, nothing. And he said to them, but now let him who has a purse take it along, likewise also a bag, and let him who has no sword sell his robe and buy one." So hand that to your Judeo-Christian sugar-sweet Christians out there that want to tell you that we're not to have weapons or even know how to use them. That's garbage. Absolute 100% garbage. The topic tonight is the Second Amendment and how they're trying to just tramp it right into the ground. And we're waiting for Mr. Mark Montani to call in, who is the director of the Virginia Libertarian Party. and he's also a staunch advocate of the Second Amendment. We also wanted to dedicate tonight's program to our watchmen who are on Monday through Friday at the same time, same channel, and that's Pastor Bob with his Genesis 3:15 program on Monday nights. We also dedicate and thank Pastor Smith, who is on Saturdays, and Dr. Judy, who comes on just before this program with all the great information that they're bringing to you. We certainly would hope that you would hold them up in your prayers and support them, because it comes at a price to bring this message to you. I got an email from a fellow, a brother, Ken, in Massachusetts. It was very interesting, and I want to say hello to him tonight, and I liked his idea about fasting. He was going to go on a personal fast this month, and I was thinking it would be a good idea for the rest of us to cry out to our Heavenly Father to have him raise up his people in these latter days. So sometime during this month, I would call upon all those who care about this country to consider a 1, 2, or 3-day fast and prayer to up to our Father to ask for his salvation to come, because we are in deep, deep trouble. Was that Mark that called in, Andy, or something else?
No, that's Pastor Bob.
Oh, Pastor Bob. Well, Pastor Bob, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Dan, for having me on.
All righty. Again, our topic tonight is the Second Amendment, and if anybody that's been following what's happening in the country, they're certainly doing their best to act as if we have no right to self-defense.
Well, what else would Satan's kids want to do? If they can get us to lay down our arms, we're much more easily taken over and controlled. I've always said point blank that Yahweh's law is the only law. He has less than 500 laws, whether it's commandments, judgments, statutes, or ordinances. And that's it for running everything on this planet, less than 500. The laws that they pass today are over 150,000 new laws and 2 million regulations between federal, state, county, and municipal. And that's according to Isaac Asimov, the dead Jew science fiction writer who had a book called The Book of Facts put out by Hastings House for anybody who wants to get it. The Constitution, what that does is simply guarantee that we have God's rights, and that this Constitution also chains our government to defend those rights for the people, is what it actually does. And quite simply, only an idiot would put down his arms of the day hoping for some utopian nonsense when even the police say you can dial 911 all day long. We don't know if we'll be there in 5 minutes or 5 hours or anywhere in between, and you're on your own. So the bottom line here is that to try to disarm a people of a country is pure treason by that government, pure and simple. There's not a question about it. And every one of these politicians, whether they be Jews or proselytes or whatever, you could take Schumer, Feinstein, Boxer, Metzenbaum, Kennedy, and all the rest. They are in violation not only of the Constitution, but even more important, Yahweh's laws. They need immediate, put on trial, tried for treason, and properly executed. And it's our military that's supposed to be doing their job. And our military, as you know, is completely derelict in their duty. They're over there fighting a bunch of goofy no-win wars for the Jew. And the Jew backs both sides and gives away our position. And the children that go over there, men and women in our services, are nothing but just toys and pawns for the Jew and their game. And the sooner our people wake up to this, the better off we'll be.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. We're just pawns in a big game to them as they make money whichever way the thing goes. It was kind of interesting you mentioned about 911. My brother has a book in transit to me right now called Dial 911 and Die. And this book is written by a lawyer, of all people.
Well, I like the title very much.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to get it. In fact, once I'm done reading it, I'm going to see if I can't get them on the air. But, yeah, you're right, the title says it all, dial 911 and die. I mean, any fool who thinks that the police are out there for to serve, when it, you know, the side of their car says to serve and protect, but do you notice what's missing? Who? To
sure.
Serve and protect who, you know?
Sure.
They're there to serve and protect the military, or not the military, but the political regime that's in power. They're not there to serve and protect us. That's a fallacy that's been upheld in the courts. This lawyer's got it in a book. I mean, and anybody with any common sense knows they're there to fill out reports and put give speeders tickets and put people in body bags, and that's about it, and protect the local mayor and the local government. And they're not there for our protection. That's ludicrous.
No, they never have been there for our protection. And the military and the police, while they've been asleep at the wheel, supposedly to defend the country from enemies without and within, we don't have to worry about the ones without, but the ones within have certainly done their job. And they have slowly but surely, since 1865 at the end of the Civil War, slowly but surely taken over this country. And they keep putting the press on from 1913 when they took over the money, 1933 when Roosevelt stole all the gold from us, 1963 when they stole the silver from us, and then in 68, and by the way, when they put that main gun law in there, although not counting the machine gun law of the 30s, and I still to this day, why shouldn't everybody own a machine gun? The tyrannical government has them, why shouldn't we? But in 1968 is when they really started their parade of endless gun laws that have went down. And guess who was leading the charge putting in the gun laws at that time? None other than Carlton Heston.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's done a 180, hasn't he?
Oh, well, supposedly he's done a 180.
Right.
I don't trust Carlton Heston as far as I can throw him, because if that was his posture back in 1968, to take the guns away from the people and keep putting in these laws, when it clearly says, as you read, that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Any law, for instance, if they said, well, from now on, we're going to charge a 1 cent tax on everybody who buys a gun. Not a big deal, but it's unconstitutional. Every
right.
law that's ever been put into existence on guns is 100% unconstitutional, absolutely treasonous to the Constitution. The ones that sign on for that should be properly tried and executed. The ones that sit by and let it happen and don't file charges on the ones that do put those laws into effect, they should also, they're in conspiracy there, and they should be put on trial for conspiracy. And if they don't know about the law, which is a real simple law, I mean, it's only a couple of lines, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's not hard at all. But for them to allow that to happen, they are derelict in their duty, ignorant of the law, of the Constitution, the law, the main law that they swore to uphold and to defend. They're not doing it, and our military sits by. They swear to uphold it and defend it, yet they do nothing. We have either a bunch of treasonous people in Congress in our military, or we have a bunch of do-nothing derelicts, one or the other.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. And I think one of the heights of hypocrisy is all these hideous Jews out here screaming to disarm the white Anglo-Saxon people while in their own native land where they have dual citizenship, back in Israel, they're armed to the teeth. Every man and woman in the country has got a full auto military weapon in their possession. And yet these same creatures are over here telling us that there's something wrong with us if we don't feel like we have a need to get rid of our guns. Now, you tell me that isn't the height of hypocrisy.
Well, sure. All you have to do is tell the Israeli government, gee, why don't you have peace with the Arabs, and to show a good sign of faith, all the Israelis will lay down their arms first.
Exactly.
Now, how do you think that would go over there? You'd have a 100% against that in a second.
Oh, absolutely. And Pastor Wickstrom and Colonel Farrell, and I believe one day you were on too, and there were some excellent programs over the last 2-3 weeks with a lot of information coming out. But it's just absolute lunacy, as you said. I mean, they're over here telling us we need to show faith. Now, tell me the predator in the White House, he's going to show faith by edicting through executive order or whatever, I can't remember now to tell you the truth, but he wants this idiotic plan to where we're not going to retaliate until we've actually had nukes hit. Now, can you imagine if any moron was to say that over in Israel, what the cry would be from all those vipers that live over in that litter box?
That guy wouldn't live to see the next sunrise.
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, it isn't what they do that really amazes me, Pastor Bob. I expect it from them. First of all, they're communists. Second of all, they're alien creatures because they have no conscience. They have no spirit of Yahweh in them. That's what people can't seem to understand. They think everybody's exactly the same. So I'm not really surprised that they do what they do. I expect them to do that. They're my enemy. They've been my enemy since the Garden of Eden. The book tells me that. Life experience tells me that. So that isn't the big surprise. What's a really big surprise to me is our people. I mean, as Dr. Kelly has in his literature, he is a missionary to the most pagan people on the planet, Americans, meaning Anglo-Saxon Americans. And I have to agree with him. Our people, when he named us sheep, that was so appropriate because they don't think. They're like a bunch of grazing sheep out here. As long as the Jew produces some sort of an object to put in their wallet that allows them to buy beer, to keep the cable TV coming in, the pornography on HBO, the sports, and you name it, as long as that's being pumped into their silly little heads, they continue to think that nothing can go wrong. And yet, you know, it just that's who really amazes me, our people. But I got to say one thing, though, before I go any further. And I know I'm preaching to the choir out there, so please don't get upset with me, to some folks. But I do have to admit, in the last couple months, in where I work and the people that I associate with, I have heard more people in groups talking about what's being done to our country as far as the gay education up there in Massachusetts, promoting the gay lifestyle to the student body, talking about the Federal Reserve and what they refer to them as the green weenie, Greenspan. They refer to them as the green weenie. And I've heard more people talking about just in general the things going wrong, the attack on our Second Amendments. But the other thing I've noticed is there's a lot more talk about how isn't it a coincidence that when you look behind who's pushing for a lot of this stuff, there's the Jew.
Well, certainly. I've been preaching on my show since day one, and I try to categorize it so people can see, you know, who do you think runs all the banks? Who do you think runs all the media? Who do you think runs the politicians? Who do you think runs the medical profession, the legal profession, which also includes the judges and the politicians? Who do you think runs the corporations? And on and on and on, and at the top of all of these main areas of life, you know, I have no idea who runs, you know, the cabinet maker society, and that's not a big issue in life. But the bottom line is who runs all of those at the top is the Jew. And you're correct in saying that the Jew is doing what he's supposed to. He's a snake. He's Satan's seed. They're supposed to be a thorn in our side. They're supposed to be here corrupting us, tempting us, making us do everything wrong against Yahweh's law. But I would tell our people out there, and if you ever wanted to hear something, I'm going to give you a few sentences that will just kind of put it in proper perspective. I get on the airways not because I'm necessarily a do-gooder and trying to spread Yahweh's word, although I am trying to spread Yahweh's word. But I'll tell you, I'm doing it for selfish reasons, because I know this life is a very short program at best, 100 years or less, and the more I do to try to get out as loud as I can and preach Yahweh's word and try to keep his laws, the higher my position is going to be in the hereafter with him. And folks, If you can either play the short game, which is this life, and be quiet. Yeah, you know the truth. Yeah, I'm going to hide. Yeah, I'm not going to speak out because somebody might hear that I don't like Jews and call me an anti-Semite, and, you know, I might get kicked out of my flower club or something. But I'll tell you, folks, you better start getting out there and getting as loud as a siren and shouting at the top Yahweh's law, pointing out who the enemy of our people are, who crucified our Father on the cross, who has killed all the righteous blood from Abel to Zechariah. That's A to Z is what I believe that is actually saying there.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, you better wake up because it's all happening right before your eyes, and it's just like you're not even awake. You need to get out there. Stop being afraid. Stop being a yellow belly. Stop walking around with that big mile-wide yellow streak on your back. Get out there like myself and Pastor Wickstrom and Pastor Dan, Wesley Swift, Bertrand Comparé, and William Gale in the past and others. Start getting out there. Wake our people up. Every chance you get in life from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, fight the Jew at every chance you get. That's what we're put here for. To be soldiers of Yahweh, Christian soldiers, as it were. We're not supposed to come down here and turn the other cheek like they teach you in the Judeo-Christian idiot houses called churches. You're supposed to be down here fighting the Jew. This has been a 7,400-year war since Adam and Eve, like you just mentioned. And our people these days don't even know they're in the middle of a war. Don't know who they are, don't know who the enemy is. When we point it out to them, they look at us and call us names.
Oh, absolutely. Pastor Bob, can you hang on until after the break?
Okay.
And we're going to go to a short break, and if it works out the way it's supposed to, I'm supposed to have Sergeant First Class Stephen Berry, who puts out the resistor, as my guest after break.
Well, I'll be happy to step off and give him the stage.
Okie doke.
Okay.
So many years ago, men and women were having children into their 80s and living what we would consider extremely long lives. Since then, we have turned our air to filth, toxic, and completely depleted our ground of all vitamins and minerals. Our fresh foods look good but have no substance, and processed foods are pumped full of synthetic vitamins and minerals that our bodies won't absorb. But there are ways of coping with these problems, and Saltbox Herbs has the answers. From the micro water machine that will detox and balance the pH levels of your body to the Qi machine that gives your body the perfect exercise. Natural vitamins and minerals your body will use. Cleansing and healing regimens that will keep you healthy. Saltbox Herbs, the healthy alternative that you can afford and your body can live with. Call Dr. Judy at 724-639-9607. That's 724-639-9607.
Broadcasting worldwide, this is the Heritage Broadcast System.
Do we have a deal for you? We have three different plastic bumper stickers you'll love. Just send us a large three-stamp self-addressed envelope and four federal dollars or three NORFED American Liberty dollars to Heritage Broadcasting, 4904 Tippecanoe, Tippecanoe Drive, Evansville, Indiana, 47715.
Welcome back to By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now, here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, everybody. And again, tonight's program on the 9th of June, year 2000, is the Second Amendment, What Does It Mean? And the call-in number tonight for folks that wish to call in is 812-476-3026. And I have a guest on the line, Sergeant First Class Stephen M. Berry, U.S. Army retired, and he is the editor of The Resister, the political warfare journal of the Special Forces Underground. Welcome to the program, Steve.
Good evening, Pastor.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm not going to eat up too much of your guest time. I just wanted to interject something about Second Amendment and the Army. One of the current trends that is going on right now is that at several military installations, particularly Fort Carson in Colorado and Fort Hood in Texas, and most recently at Fort Bragg here in North Carolina, they're implementing policies where they're forcing soldiers who live off post to store their personal weapons, the privately owned weapons, in the unit arms room.
Interesting. Before we get too much further, Steve, my guest never called in, so you don't have to feel rushed.
Oh, you never did, okay.
No. So
wow.
we can take as much time as you want. So I don't know what happened there, but that doesn't matter. You know, praise Yahweh, we'll get through somehow anyway. But
I think the Brits call it muddling through.
So they want the soldiers off post, but they want their weapons on post.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're publishing policy letters requiring soldiers to live off post to store their weapons in the unit arms room.
Uh-huh.
Of course, a soldier who lives off post, his quarters are technically and by regulation subject to inspection by the chain of command. They call this health and welfare. You know, they have, the military has the so-called right to enter their residence and inspect it for habitability and what have you.
Uh-huh.
Just as if the soldier lived in a barracks on post. But the twist to this whole thing is that now they're requiring soldiers to store their personally owned weapons in arms rooms at the unit. Of course, any soldier's got personally owned weapons. When he turns in at the unit, they have to be put down on a log, and by serial number and type, and so there's a complete record of what weapons the soldier owns. If he wants to go to the range to shoot his own weapons, to shoot his personal weapons, like on the weekend, he's got to go to the unit arms room and sign out his personal weapon to go to the range and shoot it, and then turn it back into the arms room when he's done. So, in effect, what they're doing is they're disarming the soldiers by forcing them to store their weapons in the unit arms room. And the pretext for all this is that that abominable pretext about the safety of the children, those most vicious and terrible beasts. You know, they use the children as a stalking horse for just about any egregious policy or regulation they want to impose, but the big one is soldiers living off post are now being required to store their personal weapons in the unit arms room. And what people need to realize is that these military policies are a mere couple of years in advance of policies that are imposed upon the general population. A perfect example is the so-called civil rights movement. The Department of Defense was the spearhead for the whole thing. Every single law or Supreme Court decision regarding civil rights, the civil rights movement, and laws that pertain to it, were first implemented by the Department of Defense by default through regulation, and then followed up by the courts. So you know, this is a dangerous precedent, I think, and a number of soldiers, especially around Fort Bragg, are rebelling against it. If they're ever asked in the unit if they have any privately owned weapons, and they assure everyone that they wouldn't have those horrible things in their own home, and they're glad that the unit weapons are locked up so they can't get to them. The policies are being implemented more in the breach than in the observance. The soldiers are not volunteering to turn in their weapons. So that at least is a positive sign.
Mm-hmm. The thing that disturbs me is I hope people are asking themselves, why would my elected servants propose and generate regulations like this that are obviously trying to disarm not only our soldiers but our civilians? You know, that and again, our title is, what does the Second Amendment mean? There was an ad hoc committee in Congress in the mid 1980s that spent over 2 years studying all the archived documents that talked about the Second Amendment and what it meant. And their report to Congress, in front of the whole Congress, came back and said, literally, it means exactly what it says. The people have the right to keep and bear all manner of arms for their protection and the protection of their properties and for the protection of the country.
Absolutely. You know, if you go back into the English language dating around the early 1800s, we find that the word militia means the armed citizenry.
Exactly.
And well-regulated means that they must be drilled.
Yes, right.
In other words, it's a martial society. I think what's missing from that definition is that the original intent was that only property owners were subject to be in the militia. In other words, the people who could vote were subject to be in the militia.
Mm-hmm.
But all the same, what we have, what the original intent is an armed citizenry that is well trained in the infantry weapons and drill of the day. And in my mind today, that would mean that any militia would be remiss if they did not have several machine guns and be well schooled in the art of the infantry. And yet the Jews have forbidden this. All these anti-militia laws that the Jews have had passed are explicitly and expressly designed to disarm Christian white men.
Oh, I agree. And a good case in point to where if a well-regulated and armed militia works is to look at the history of Switzerland. Every male in Switzerland is required to be in the army for at least 2 years. When he is discharged, he is given his automatic weapon. He's given all the ammunition he needs. He's encouraged to use it up and practice with it, and they replace it free of charge. And they even had a program, at least until recently, that if you bought a four-wheel drive vehicle and you would authorize the military to use it in time of war, they would pay 60% of the cost of that utility.
Yeah, that's a good deal. Where do I sign up?
Well, the case in point is, with a regulated militia citizen army like that, nobody in his right mind for over half a century would even dream of attacking Switzerland.
Yep.
And yet people can't seem to understand that here. And the thing that I would ask you, because you have contacts with retired and active duty people far more than I do, I'm sure, is can anybody see the handwriting on the wall that we're being set up for an invasion?
You know, sadly there are very few retired military people who see it, and even fewer active duty people who see it. I'm at a loss to explain why. There are some military people who they're more than willing to parrot whatever some so-called conservative talk show host barks over the radio, but when it comes to actually seeing what's going on and understanding who's responsible and having a vision of where it's heading, you know, what all this added up to means, there's very few, and that's very disconcerting. And that is the purpose of the resistor, is trying to reach these people. But it is very disconcerting.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just amazing. I don't know how they rationalize it away with all the signs of the times that we have in front of us. Before we get any further, Steve, I didn't think of this, but would you mind telling the folks how they can get a hold of the resistor? That's an excellent publication.
It's P.O. Box 35046. That's P.O. Box 35046. Fayetteville, North Carolina, 28303. The zip again is 28303. And sample copies are $15, and subscription for four issues is $50. And the average issue size is about 100 pages, so you're getting your money's worth.
And I have to add, having read the last two, and it's well worth it. You've got a whole ton of information in there if people would just take the time to read it. I don't know what's going to take to wake these people up. A lot of the people I associate with and I talk to on a daily basis and all that, they're starting, many of them are starting to come out of their fog because things have gotten so bad, as in the case of the gasoline. Today I happen to notice that the premium gasoline that was $2.05 a gallon yesterday is now $2.13 a gallon today.
Oh, man.
So people up in this area, which is the state of Michigan, are certainly getting a wake-up call in a hurry. But, you know, I really don't know. As a studier of the scripture, I feel that this is all part of the plan he has to test his people and those that really do love him and love truth and love liberty and those that just really don't care. It's kind of like he's separating, you know, the story of the wheat and the tares.
Well, I think those who truly love him are going to suffer the most. Those who do not love our Lord are going to just strum along in their humdrum lives, and they're going to end up in a very unpleasant place when it's all over. But I think we're meant to suffer, and I think the suffering steals us for the battle to come.
Well, I would go along with that. The people that think they're going to have an easy ride, though, I'd remind them that they should read what the communists do to those that help them get into power once they get there.
I think our people should also bear in mind what happens to them when the communists come in power. The hardest thing I have trying to get across to people is that we are living in a communist country. We're living in one of the most pure communist countries. The Soviet Union, Red China, and the others, they're trial balloons. They're experiments to see how much they can get away with and how much people will put up with. But in reality, if you go back and study the history of communism, you'll find that the Communist International moved from Moscow to New York City in about 1943, and that America's always been the financier of international communism, and that our nomenklatura, as I call them, our ruling class, and we all know who they are, the Jews, very early on seized control of the institutions within America that would make possible international communism overseas. And it was all financed from America. The Russian Revolution was financed from America.
Well, we've got the top commie, Gorbachev, sitting in the Presidio out in California.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Gorby, he's a guy.
I mean, tell me, people, it just boggles my mind. I remember telling a guy that here not long ago that he was out there. He called me a liar. And I said, that was in the regular papers. This isn't right-wing material I'm talking here. I said, he runs Gorbachev Foundation, for crying out loud.
None so blind who will not see.
Oh, my God. And I'll tell you what, there's a double witness to what you were saying about us being a communist nation, and that gets a lot of people's dandruff up as soon as you say that, but I got into a discussion about 5 years ago, and me and a couple friends had some guys lined up and were debating all this stuff, and it just so happened one of the guys in our crew was an ex-South Vietnamese soldier.
Mm-hmm.
He was an officer. So his name was Victor. His anglicized name was Victor. So we said, Vic, come on over here for a minute. So he comes on over, and we said, we're having a little discussion here about America being communism. How about you telling them? You lived in a communist, in a nation that was overrun with communists. I said, you tell them what we are. and he looked at us, and his English wasn't half bad, and he said, well, America is not communist. America is super communist. and these guys' eyes got about as big as silver dollars, and their chins fell open, and I just sort of chuckled, and I said, well, explain to them what you mean, Vic. And he said, well, in South Vietnam, in Vietnam, he said, in the hamlets and stuff outside Saigon and all that, he said, life was pretty much the way it's been for centuries. He said the most evidence of communism was in the cities. He said, but you can't get away from it in America.
Yep.
He said, you go out on the most rural road and you'll have some guy in a badge stop you and want to check you for your socialist papers and tell you and read you the riot act if you're not stepping along in the party line. He said, at least in Vietnam, we could go into the countryside and live the way we've lived for centuries.
Yeah.
And these guys just about fell over.
Yeah, I have quite a bit of dealings with former Hungarian resistance fighters from 1956, and they're unanimous that we were living in a communist country. And they've been trying to tell people for years, but it's like spitting into the wind. It's just the American people are so dumbed down, so mesmerized by this so-called democracy, and my definition of democracy is the demand by the stupid to rule the intelligent, because the stupid outnumber the intelligent. This is about as concise a definition of communism as you can get.
Well, that says it all. Interesting you should bring that up. I have a guy who's lined up to be a guest here in the next 2 to 3 weeks who came from Hungary as a young man and lived under the communists, and he happens to work with a relative of mine, and that's how I found out about him. And so I called him, and he said he'd agree to come on to try to tell the people how serious this is, because he grew up under
it's deadly serious.
Excuse me?
It's deadly serious.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is communism is a religion.
Yep.
It's a religion that suffuses every nuance within society. It's all encompassing. It comes from every direction. And we are literally in a holy war. Anti-communists against the communists. Christians against the communists.
Good against evil.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, we were just talking about that tonight, a group of us, and it hasn't changed in over 6,000 years. Communism is probably the most wicked, most evil system that was ever foisted upon humankind, and it was done by the Jews. It's financed, its creators were Jews, it's financed by Jews, and it's promulgated by Jews.
That's why I call it Judeo-communism.
Yeah, exactly. And people need to wake up to that fact. I mean, it's just horrendous. Hey, do you mind telling the folks what you told me about, or do you want to keep that secret about what was offered to you recently? I think that
within the past couple of months, I've had a number of Jews offer to help me. that they share my same concerns and want to offer their help. I have to wipe my tears away when I recount that, because that's how to destroy every right-wing movement in this country, because everyone's so afraid of them, everyone's so intimidated by them, that when they come and offer help, everyone grovels and scrapes and says, oh, thank you, and they end up steering every right-wing movement that exists into blind alleys.
Absolutely. Wasn't it one of them that took in, or was the undoing of McCarthy?
Yeah, McCarthy, one of McCarthy's lawyers was a Jew, and he pretty much derailed McCarthy's hearings.
Exactly. Well, if nothing else, he's a spy.
But I told these helpful Jews, good, send me huge bundles of money, I'll handle the details.
and so far, how much have you received?
None. Nothing.
Well, you know, as a friend of mine from Tennessee told me a long time ago, their God is gold. And if you think you're going to separate them from their God, you're crazy. You know how copper wire was invented, don't you?
No.
Somebody put a penny between two Jews. So enough of that. But
I thought, I just thought it was amusing that all of a sudden I'm being offered all this help.
Well, exactly. The offer of help is the camel's
like,
nose.
Like I'm stupid enough to fall for it.
Well, you know what's interesting is that is to me that that's a sign of the times. It's just like Jane Fonda. All of a sudden finding Christianity after being the biggest traitor, the biggest...
That's just the latest script.
Exactly. And so now that the their time is short, they know it. You know, there's a rabbi in the East Coast right now telling his congregation they better get their tickets to Israel. But they know their time is short,
well,
so they're going to start doing...
Speaking about rabbis on the East Coast, there was currently a meeting at a synagogue in New York City. I'd have to jump off the phone and dig out the paper, but there was a meeting of communists in Manhattan in a synagogue declaring that communism is their god.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How fitting.
I don't know if you're going to a break or whatever, but I'd have to get off the phone and go find the paper, but the paper's handy if you want to talk about it some other time.
Sure.
But, I found that typical.
Uh-huh.
Among themselves, they admit it. In their own newspapers, their own Yiddish and Hebrew language newspapers, they admit it. They admit they're communists. They admit that they started it. And yet, if anyone else, if a Christian points his finger and says, hey, these Jews are communists, all of a sudden you're an anti-Semite, and you're being excoriated and hounded, you know?
Exactly.
And what flabbergasts me is that people fall for this. You know, they actually believe these people. And we're committing suicide. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yep.
Our race is committing suicide.
Well, I remember a few years back in Philadelphia, Steve Carlton, the pitcher for the Phillies,
mm-hmm.
was going to be entered into the Hall of Fame for his abilities as a pitcher. But Steve Carlton was also known as probably one of the smartest athletes in America, one of the best businessmen as an athlete, and he gave very few interviews. He didn't like the press too much, and he was pretty quiet, and apparently at a banquet in honor of his being inducted into the Hall of Fame, he made the statement that the world was run by 12 Zionist families. Well, yeah, that hit the papers the next day, and I cut it out because I wanted to show it to my family to prove a point to them. And in this article, he was called everything from crazy to anti-Semite to Nazi and everything else. And it was about 8 to 10 inches long, this column that was denouncing Steve Carlton, who was an icon in Philadelphia. And I took it to the family and I said, would you please show me in here where they said he's lying?
Yep.
And nowhere in the article did it ever say that he was lying. It just simply said he was anti-Jewish, he was nuts, he was crazy, he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. It went on and on and on. I mean, you could just picture the spittle coming out of their mouths as they're trying to defame this fantastic athlete. And nowhere in there did it say he was wrong. It's just amazing. I mean, our people have got to get smarter, and they got to get involved. But we got about 2 minutes left there, Steve, if you have anything you want to throw in here at the end.
Well, not really. I think we covered the turf. If you want to throw a last-minute spinball at me.
Well, I can't. I'll tell you the truth. I don't have anything right offhand. I was just going to give the address to the folks and let them know how they can contact us if they want a copy and just say thanks for being on. I appreciate you calling in and saving the day there for me, you
all
and
right, Pastor
Bob. And wish you well, and keep up the good work.
All right, Pastor, you have a good evening.
You take care now.
Bye-bye.
Yahweh bless. Yeah, and again, Pastor Bob, I appreciate you calling in with your comments and contributions. The program, if you wish to call in or write in to us, I should say, a $5 donation for any program now or in the past, you can write to By Yahweh's Design. And again, we remind you, the month of June is the fundraiser month for Heritage Broadcasting. $25 donation will get you a beautiful coffee mug with their logo on it, and you can get two for a $45 donation. And again, tonight, we were talking about the Second Amendment, folks. That is a crucial piece of legislation, and that our rights don't come from the Constitution, folks. The Constitution was written to control government. Your rights were antecedent to the Constitution. They come from God our Father, not the Constitution. You have His authority to defend your life, your family, your property, your country, your brothers and sisters. So don't get into this hogwash that the Constitution or what the Supreme Court says or any other bunch of flunkies or Jews says. It's your Father who gives you that right. And you are commanded to be armed, know how to use it, and when called upon, to use it, as long as you are in obedience to His word. I'll leave you with that, and I want to thank Pastor Bob and Steve Berry, who is the editor of The Resister, for calling in, and thank Heritage Broadcasting. Take care, and Yahweh bless.
As though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. Oh, oh, you dress the wounds of my people, as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. And how dare I come in here like a pompous young man?
This is the Heritage Broadcasting System on Galaxy 7, Transponder 14, 7.71 wideband audio. We thank you for listening.